just heard sung. Let's come there. Oh, Heavenly Father, by faith, here we are as a group of your people returning to that place called Calvary, where nearly 2,000 years ago that cross stood. And our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was nailed there as the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for my sin, for our sin, for the sins of the world. Oh, how we thank you for what Jesus has done. And we thank you that because he died there for us and rose again, he has now given to us access into their very throne room of you, O God, so that we can pray. And here we are praying this morning. Thank you for this wonderful privilege. Open your word to our hearts and minds now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Our boys and girls may feel free right now to slip downstairs for their time of worship and praise, and how we thank the Lord for our children and for those who lead them in this weekly wonderful ministry. Now, friends, I want to say congratulations to everybody here this morning. Did you realize that you have now 100% attendance for church in the year 2013? And I hope you keep it up during the next 51 weeks that are still in this year. By the way, if you're not able to be here and maybe you're on vacation traveling, may I encourage you, wherever you go, to find a group of people that love the Lord where the Word is taught and worship with them. You might like to bring back a bulletin from where they are just to prove to me that you were in church. Would you do that? God wants us always not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as believers. Isn't it good to be together? And we had the privilege a few moments ago of shaking hands with one another. I didn't get to all of you, but here it is. And I'm glad we're friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the things Adrian and I have noticed here at our dear church at Maple Avenue is that you don't generally leave fast out of this place. You linger. And that's a good sign of the fellowship that God intends us to have. Now, I'd like for you to look at the bulletin that Eva has provided for us. How many of you know who Eva is? Raise your hands. Some of you didn't. Eva, would you please stand where you are? This is the lady who puts it all together. And she knows the direction in which our messages are going in every given week. And she ties in. And look what she put on the front of our bulletin for this week. These simple four words: devote yourselves to prayer. And that's found in Colossians 4, verse 2. Would you say those four words with me? Devote yourselves to prayer. Brother Art mentioned a few moments ago, this has been a whole wonderful week of prayer. And I'm so grateful for so many of you who have been involved with us, either physically here in our prayer services of Wednesday evening and Thursday evening, or during those 12 hours of prayer from 9 in the morning till 9 in the evening that we're here. Many of you were participating with us then. And then, as Art mentioned yesterday, from midnight to midnight, 24 hours of nonstop prayer, not here in the building, but wherever you were. And I thank you, every one of you who participated in signing into one or more of those links of 15 minutes each, and to pray and have a continuous flow of prayer from our congregation to the Lord, devoting ourselves to prayer. I discovered that not only were those 96 spots all filled, but there were a number of others of those spots where others signed in as well, so there are at least two people praying in several of those. I saw a total of 115 different names on that list of you people participating as we were devoting ourselves to prayer. And now, how beautiful to begin a whole new year just seeking the face of God and coming together. And we're going to climax this week of prayer this evening in what we call a concert of prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have a lot of music. We're going to have a lot of praying. And so I would invite you just to join with us as we will be. There will be a little bit of singing as well, too. But I want for us to be just focusing together as a family of God on the wonderful privilege of coming to the throne of God in prayer. And I hope that during this coming week and during this coming year, each of us will develop a habit of beginning every day connecting with God in prayer, consciously recognizing God's on His throne. I'm here on the planet Earth that He made for me to walk in right now, but we are together in the journey of life. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, let me say it again. You might like to wake up each morning and put this as a habit in your life to express this prayer immediately when you first wake up in the morning. Four little lines. The first is, "Good morning, Lord." Now, He's been awake all night taking care of you. But you're coming too. And it doesn't necessarily have to take a cup of coffee to wake you up. If you can just say, "Good morning, Lord." And then say this, number two, "I love you." Do you love Him? By the way, He loves you. Oh, does He ever love you? And He desires our love in return. "Good morning, Lord, I love you." And then you might like to put as the third phrase this, "What are you up to today?" Now, you may have some plans for this day, but you know not what a day may bring forth, do you? And how good it is to say, "Lord, I'd like to know what you're doing, what you want to do this day, as it pertains even to my life, as I relate to the world in which I'm living." So, "Good morning, Lord. I love you. What are you up to today?" And then, would you put this fourth little phrase on the end of your prayer? "I want to be a part of it." That just places my will into God's will, saying, "Lord, whatever you've got for this day, I'm with you 100%. Now, I'd like to chat with you this morning in these moments about this simple theme in two words. It's a question. Why pray? Here we've been doing it all this week in this wonderful week of prayer, but some may ask the question, why do this anyway? I'd like for you, if you have the bulletin, to look inside and find a little sheet. It's a white sheet that looks like this. And I'd like you to take some notes this morning because you probably won't remember all 12 points. "Oh, Pastor, you got 12 points to your message?" Yeah. But by 3 o'clock this afternoon, we should be fit. No, we will not make it long, but very, very important. Okay? And in trying to answer this question, why should we pray, I want for you to see at least 12 very positive reasons as to why God's people, we, should pray. And I'm sure that you can think of some other reasons beside this, but I think 12 would be enough for this morning. Is that all right? Okay, let's talk about it together. Why pray? And, you know, some people might ask this question. Now, since God already knows everything that is going to take place in this world, and furthermore, because He is sovereign, then why bother to pray? Good question. Do you believe that God knows everything? Yes, the Bible indicates He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows not only where you've been, but what's going to happen to you the rest of this day and tomorrow and on. He understands that. He knows the past, the present, and the future. God knows everything. So you say, well then, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, you see. Unless it is. The future is yours because God, in His sovereignty, has willed that you participate with Him in this wonderful journey of life between here and eternity. And I want you to see these reasons why we should pray. Here's number one. Why pray? Well, number one, because, and you can write this down, free and confident access to God was made possible for sinners. Any sinners here? My hand's up too. All of us have sinned. All of us still sin. Because free and confident access to God was made possible for sinners. How? By Christ's blood. Now I want you to see this verse that comes up on the screen, and I'd like you to say this with me. This comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and from the verses from verse 19 through the first part of verse 22. And I'd like you to speak this with me with a good big voice, will you? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture, and you might say, what's it talking about really? What do you mean, this way open through the curtain that is His body? Let me talk to you about that. You who have studied the Old Testament know that God ordained that the children of Israel should build a tabernacle with a number of very distinct features in it, including the place where the sacrifice was made, and then a curtain that led for the priest into the holy place, and then beyond that into the Holy of Holies, where the priest only went once a year to atone for his own sins and the sins of all the people. But every day they went into the holy place. And then when the children of Israel had come from traveling with the ark, with the tabernacle through the wilderness and came into the land of Israel, eventually God pointed out the place where He wanted the temple to be built, the permanent place on the mount of the Temple Mount that we know as today in Jerusalem. And Solomon built that temple according to God's beautiful will, and the same pattern was there, the place of sacrifice. And because of the sacrifice, the privilege of going into the holy place, and then once a year, where the Ark of the Covenant was, into the most holy place. When Jesus died, and He said, "It is finished," one of the miracles that took place on that Good Friday was that that curtain, which was nearly 90 feet high and about that thick, was ripped and torn from top to bottom. God did it. No man did that. And the gate, that curtain that goes into the Holy of Holies, was ripped from top to bottom. And that was because Jesus Christ's own body was ripped for you and me, hanging on that cross where He died for us in such ignominy and shame. And that ripping of that curtain into the Holy of Holies was a picture of what Jesus did on the cross to make it possible now, not just for the high priest once a year, but for you and you and you, every one of us here, all of us who come to Christ having received the gift that he purchased through his death on the cross, the sacrifice is made, we walk into actually the very Holy of Holies with God. Isn't that amazing? And though that's what this verse is saying. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, why? By the blood of Jesus that was shed, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. And the writer of the book of Hebrews uses the curtain, referring to that curtain, but that was just a picture of Christ, the curtain. When he died, in his own body, he paid the price, and now we enter into that place. But not only that, we also now, since he died and is risen again and is ascended into heaven, it says, and we have a great priest over the house of God. That's where Jesus is today. He's the great high priest, the eternal high priest. There were priests and high priests through those hundreds of years that God set up in the wilderness. That pattern that he gave through Moses and all the way through Jesus' day, there were high priests and many other priests that were serving. But they were all pictures of the priest, the perfect priest, Jesus the priest, who would come. And now where is he? He's seated in the heavenlies. And he is praying for you and me. Aren't you glad for that? He is inviting us in. He says, we've got this access now to draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. You don't have to be scared now. You are privileged to approach the eternal holy God. Thank you, Lord. Why pray? Well, because he's given us this free and confident access. Now, number two, I want you to see this. Here's another reason to pray. Because God's word commands us to pray. Oh, many times it speaks of this. I'd like to give you a couple of verses. First of all, in Colossians 4, verse 2, which you saw right on your bulletin this morning, devote yourselves to prayer. It goes on to say, being watchful and thankful. And when we pray, it's not just a matter of coming and saying, Lord, do this, 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 and this, and this. I've got this problem and that problem. Please fix it. Now, it's proper to pray for all of those things. But it also says, and be thankful, with thankfulness in our heart. In fact, it's often so good to come, when we begin to pray, to just come not with our grocery list of all the requests, but come first of all with our thanksgiving list. You don't have to wait till the first or the second Monday of October to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Every day is a Thanksgiving day for a believer, isn't it? And it's a day of worship and praise. And when we come to the Lord, let's devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful. That means use your brain. Think. Observe. Observe what's happening in your life. Observe what's happening in your family's life. Observe what's happening in your community, in the world. Observe what's happening in your congregational life. Be watchful and also thankful. And the Word of God commands us to pray. It also says it, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, two words, pray continually. Could you memorize a Bible verse with me this morning? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Say it with me, pray continually. Now, can you, without peeking, do you think you can remember that verse? Close your eyes. Let's see if we can say it now. Say it with me, pray continually. God. Now I tell you what, you just memorized a Bible verse. And now let's put it into practice. Why? Because God's Word commands us to pray. Now, I could give you a list of many, many more scriptures that say the same. Those are just two. Now, let's go to number three. Why pray? Because prayer nurtures our friendship with God. I love that. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room just before he died, that night, and he was there, and he instituted the communion service, the Lord's table, and one of the things he said to them was this. You'll find it in John chapter 15. I no longer call you servants, for the servant knows not what his father doeth, but I call you friends. For whatsoever the Father has said to me, I'm passing it on to you. You're on an inner circle here. This is friendship and prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is conversation with God. And prayer is a means of nurturing this friendship with God. I have a book at home which is entitled The Transforming Friendship. And it's speaking of prayer. The whole book is about prayer. But prayer, as we enter into this friendship and fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, just causes us to grow and mature in the Christian life God intends for us to have and to enjoy the Lord. Now, it's proper to fear God. You know, there's a certain person in this auditorium that I fear. She's seated right there. Adrian, my wife of a mere 55 plus years. Why do I fear her? I tell you what, I fear lest I'd ever break her heart. But that fear nurtures my friendship with her. And if we fear the Lord that way, that we don't want to ever break His heart, it leads us into a friendship as we get to know Him better and better and allow Him to just enter into our lives so that we are fulfilled in every beautiful way that God intends for our lives to be. I want you to see a scripture here. And here it comes up on the screen. This is from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and verse 11, where we find Moses up on the Mount Sinai for the second time, by the way. He's already been up there once for 40 days and nights, fasting. A number of you, in one form or another, were taking part of this week to set aside food for a while just to focus on prayer. And God bless you for that. Not that there are any goody points that you get for that. But it's just a discipline. It's something like an exercise program. Like, as Adrian and I do, we swim to try to keep our bodies in somewhat of a shape. And other people jog or lift weights or whatever you do. A fast can be a spiritual discipline just to help you to keep spiritually healthy, so that you can just be focusing on the Lord and focusing in prayer. And Moses did that. He was on the mountain, and the second time he went up again for another 40 days and nights in fasting, a total of 80. Can you imagine that? And while he was up there, we read in Exodus chapter 33 that he just said, Lord, I just want to get to show me your glory. You know, the longer you spend time with the Lord, the more you're going to say, Lord, oh, this is wonderful, but I just want to even know more of you. Show me your glory, Lord. And in that context, it says this, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now that's real prayer. I hope you have a wonderful sense of the friendship that is developed as you pray. Now, I want you to see something else. Number four. Why should we pray? Because prayer pleases God. It brings pleasure to the Lord when we come and talk with Him. First, here's a passage of Scripture that I want you to see. And maybe you can read this with me as it comes. Whoops, it's not on there. Sorry. Yes, it will maybe hopefully come up. But because prayer pleases God. Well, here's what I want. I'll say it. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 3. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings. I guess that would include prime ministers as well, and presidents and all the rest, and even premiers and mayors, and because it goes on to say, and all those in authority. We should pray for everybody, including those, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. And then it says this, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. Did you realize? If somebody's here this morning, maybe you've never yet received Jesus as your Savior. I've got good news for you. Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to open your heart to Christ. And we who know the Lord have the privilege of praying. And praying because it pleases the Lord. Brings pleasure to Him. You know, if you love somebody, you want to please them. If you love God, you want to please Him. And prayer does that. I want you to see something else. Number five. Why pray? Because prayer aligns our will with God's will. See, God has a good and a perfect will. You and I have been given a will from God that we can exercise any way we want. But He has given us that will hoping that we will choose His will. And prayer aligns our will with God. And you'll see this scripture that just comes up now. Matthew 6:10 is part of the wonderful scripture that gives us what we often call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the prayer the Lord gave to the disciples. It's our prayer. And that verse says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray that, we got to think, Lord, I want that will be done in my life as well. I want my will to be aligned with Your will. Jesus prayed that way. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Say it with me, will you please? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will. Even Jesus Himself aligning His will with God the Father, and that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane as He knew that He was facing the awful bearing of our sins on the cross. Oh, what a weight. Oh, what agony. And humanly speaking, Jesus said, if there's any other way to do it, Lord, let's do it another way. But the Father said, no, this is the only way that can be satisfied without the shedding of blood, especially the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sins. And so that prayer, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder if you would pray that with me. In fact, maybe we could pray it in its full context of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Many of you know that. I wonder if you'd just stand with me right now. I wonder if you would pray with me right now that prayer that Jesus taught as we seek to align our will with God's will. And let's pray this together. You don't see the whole words there, but many of you remember it. Or if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. But let's just pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? You may be seated. Think of number six, a sixth reason. Why should I pray? Because prayer is a much better alternative than to give up. Oh, how easy it is to give up. You heard played beautifully on the piano a few moments ago the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And what it says in one of those verses, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And many of us can go through times when we are bearing pains that God didn't intend for us to be. Now, there are some pains He does intend for us to bear. But sadly, there are many pains that people bear simply because they do not bring it to the Lord in prayer. They've given up. So tired. And we all know what it is to kind of come to the end of ourselves and to run out of gas. But Jesus spoke a wonderful, you'll see this in this verse that comes up here, I hope. And there it is. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1 says, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So may we not give up. Let me take you to number 7. Here's another reason why we should pray, because prayer can change events. You've heard the phrase, prayer changes things. And prayer can change events. Look at this scripture that tells that, for instance. This is from the book of James. Maybe you can read this with me. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, there's one illustration of many that you can find in the Bible about how prayer changes events. So that there's, a famine as part of judgment on Israel for 3.5 years. And then prayer and the blessing comes and the rain comes. I want you to see another reason, not only because prayer can change events, but because, number 8, because prayer can change people. Not just events, but people. For instance, in Romans 10, verse 1, here's Paul the Apostle's prayer for, you know, he was a Jew, and he was so concerned for all the Jews, and so many of them were not believers. And here's his prayer, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Do you know it's proper to pray for people to be saved? And God, through prayer, touches the hearts and lives of people. And this congregation has known that over and over again in the lives of so many people through its years. And I trust that in this year of 2013, we're going to see many, many more people swept into the kingdom of God. Why? Because God's people are praying for the lost. I want you to see number 9. Not only does prayer change events and prayer change people, but because prayer can change us. Wow. Yes, God changed me. I want you to see a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19, and most of it is here. And here's what it says. Again, I'd like to hear your voices with me. Let's speak this. For this reason I kneel before the Father. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Does that grab you? Grab you enough to change you? Well, as we pray that kind of a prayer, that's going to change me. It's going to change you. We're going to be more and more, just like our goal is here, becoming more like Christ in order that we may reach more for Christ and bring more to Christ. Now, let's go on to number 10, another reason. Why pray? Well, because prayer can conquer Satan. Satan is the arch enemy of our souls. And he's got a multitude of minions, demons under his control. And he's working through this whole world system to try to bring damage to God's plan. But through prayer, Satan can be defeated. He can be conquered. I want you to see this in Mark chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. It says this, after Jesus had gone indoors, and by the way, he had just healed a demon-possessed person, and the disciples wondered, why couldn't we do that? Here's what he says, and he went indoors, and he just has his disciples around. They asked him privately, why couldn't we drive out the demon? And here's Jesus' reply, this kind can come out only by prayer. But what he's saying is, there's power in prayer over Satan. Do you believe that? Amen? And this week, the devil is going to be on your trail, in one form or another, going to try to trip you up, mess up your life. But I've got good news for you. Greater is he, the Lord Jesus, who is in you, than he, the devil, who's in the world. Do you believe that? Therefore, I have no excuse to say, like Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, I'm responsible for all of my actions personally. I can't blame the devil for it. Now, I want you to, as somebody said, and you'll see it in their notes here, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You might feel, boy, I'm not a great saint. Listen, are you a saint? Have you received Jesus as Savior? The devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Believe that. Number 11. Why pray? Because prayer can turn bad experiences into good. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, we read this about the Apostle Paul who writes this letter, and he's in prison in Rome. And he says, for I know that through your prayers, he's writing to the people in Philippi, and the help given by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, that is being in prison, will turn out for my deliverance. And something good's going to come out of this as a result of prayer. And I want you to know that because prayer can turn bad experiences into good, that's why we ought to pray. Can I give you one final thing? Number 12, because prayer is the means for receiving. And Jesus said it in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in his amazing epistle of the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 2, he said to all of us unbelievers, Christians who aren't practicing prayer as we ought, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. We need to pray because prayer is a means for receiving the blessings of God. Well, in conclusion, and you'll see this last slide here. To attempt any work for God, says John Blanchard, a man that I met, he's from England. But to attempt any work for God without prayer is as futile as trying to launch a space probe with a pea shooter. Now, that kind of gets the point across, doesn't it? It's essential for us to pray. Do you know this church will shrivel on the vine if we stop praying? It will flourish and be blessed. And through this church, blessing this community and the whole world, including the team that goes to Brazil in a few months here this spring. It's going to bless everything as we pray and seek God's face. Lord Tennyson said this, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." I like that. And Jonathan Edwards, a wonderful servant of Christ of 2.5 centuries ago, in the eastern part of the United States, God used him to spark what we often call the Great Awakening. And he was a man of prayer. And he says this, "When God is about to do a great work, he pours out a spirit of supplication, a desire for God's people have a desire to pray. And I invite you to participate in that wonderful privilege of prayer." I look forward to hopefully all of you can be with us tonight for that climaxing hour as we begin this glorious new year together. Worship team, would you come, please?